Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Vav. We begin at Hey Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday we concluded that Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Aron and Kaparis were merely 8.5 tefachim high, could not use that as a source for the halacha that a mechitza needs to rise at least 10 tefachim in height to be considered. Rather, has Rabbi Yehuda learned that halacha through a halacha l'moshe mesina, which is the clearest form of Torah Sheba'al Peh? Says the Gemara, the Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav. The following three things were taught by way of halacha l'moshe mesina. Shi'urin. Only shi'urin pertaining to Isser, for instance, a kazayis of chelev is asr, a kisevis of food on Yom Kippur is asr, shi'urin pertaining to hilchos tumah, kazayis of a nevela is matame, all those shi'urin, and chatzitzin, details regarding hilchos chatzitza when it comes to being tovel, u'mechitzin, all the various halachos of mechitzis, including the fact that a mechitzin needs to rise at least 10 tefachim in order for it to be considered a chatzitza, a proper divider between two rishuyos. So these three things were taught by way of halacha l'moshe mesinai. Says the Gemara, shi'urin, d'oraisa nino. Why do we need to learn shi'urin through Torah Sheba'al Peh? We have shi'urin within the psukim, in Torah Sheba'chsav, the chsiv. When Moshe Rabbeinu was praising Eretz Yisrael, he said, look, Eretz Yisrael has all these various species, eretz, chitos, oira, wheat and barley, v'gefen, grapes, uta'inav, rimon, figs and pomegranates, eretz, zeis, shemen, udvash, a land that has olive oil, grows olives, udvash, honey, date honey, olives and dates. So everything is in Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, it had a deeper spiritual meaning as well. V'amar afchanan, kol ha'posik hazeh l'shi'urin nemar. Moshe Rabbeinu was conveying another message as well. Look, all those fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael supply shi'urin for Torah. So halachas of Torah are measured based on Eretz Yisrael produce. Says Rashi, four lines from the bottom. The shi'urin emar. Ha'pasuk medaber v'shvacha shel Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk is praising Eretz Yisrael. Shafilu b'divrei Torah, even when it comes to halachas of Torah. Tzrichim l'sha'er b'pereseo isurin shel Torah. So even the Yisurin, the halachas of Torah, follow the Shi'urin, which are based on the various fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael. How's that? Explains the Gemara. Let's go down the line. Chita, wheat. What type of shear is wheat based? Lubayis hamanuga. If there's a house with a negar, there's going to be a halacha which is based on wheat. This none we learned in the Mishnah. Hanich nas. One who enters a home with a nega, v'keilav al kseifav, suppose he's carrying his begadim on his shoulders, folded up on his shoulders. He's not wearing them, he's just carrying them in. V'sandolav, and his sandals, v'taba'oisav, and his rings, v'yadoy, in his hands. Not wearing them, just carrying them into the house. What happens to them? Who? This fellow himself, v'hein, and all the items that he's bringing with him, t'mein miyad. They will become tamei immediately upon entry. Why? Says Rashi on the bottom line. Tamei miyad b'loy shehiyah, without any waiting. T'chsev ha'bo'el ha'bayis yitma. One that enters the home becomes tamei. V'kulu bo'el ha'bayis karinavu. That applies to all. He entered the home. They entered the home. They're all tamei immediately. Continues the Gemara. What about if ha'yolavish kelev? He was wearing his begotten. Says Rashi on the top line. Ha'ilavish Caleb, now it's different. The Ikri Lu Begadim. We refer to them as his Begadim. He's not just carrying a load. They're being worn by him. They're part of him. They're bottled to him. Continues the Gemara. V'sandola Baraglov, or his sandals, were being worn on his feet. V'taba'oisav be'etz ba'oisav. Now he was actually wearing his rings. So what happens now? Now there's a difference between him and them. Hu tamei miyad. The fellow himself becomes tamei immediately upon entry, because pasuk says va'bo elabayis yitzma. However, these begadim are not independent entities; they're part of him, and therefore they only get tuma on account of him. It takes a while. V'hein toherim, they remain tamei ad sheyishe, until he remains in that home. A prescribed period. The time that it takes to have a meal. B'chdei achilas pras. As long as it takes to eat a pras, a half a loaf. Which loaf? The loaf we discussed in Maseches Erevin, which contains 2 meals worth of bread. So pras is half of that. 1 meal's worth. So if he stays in that home long enough to have that meal, now his tumah will extend over to his begadim. We learn this from a pasuk, as Rashi will bring. Now, what type of bread are we speaking about? Paschitin, made from wheat flour, which is more tasty and eaten quicker. V'lei basa'er, as opposed to barley bread, which takes longer. Mesev, we calculate it based on eating while leaning, while lying. He's focusing, he's concentrating on his meal, not really procrastinating. So it's a quicker, it's a shorter shear. Voicha b'liftan, and likewise he was eating it with liftan, with some accompaniment, which moves the meal along, and it takes less time for him to eat that amount of bread. So it's actually a chumrah, 3 chumras. Wheat, focusing, and together with liftan. Let's go over to Rashi on the top line again. Hu tamei miyad. He becomes tamei right away. D'chsev abala b'ayis yitmo. He entered the home, he's tamei. However, v'hein tahirin ad sheyishe. Why? D'chsev v'oichel b'ayis yechabes. Pasuk says, if one actually eats something in the home, yechabes begadav, he has to wash his clothing, he has to be toiled, and they become tamei. V'darshin emeteris kahanim. The b'raisa teaches us as follows. Perhaps only if he's going to eat and lie there. What if he only eats without lying? Lies without eating. None of the above. Minayin, how do we know that his begadav will become tamei? Even in that case, tamalim yechabes begadav riba. Shtei pa'amim ksiv yechabes begadav. Torah repeats yechabes begadav twice. Even without actually eating in the home or lying in the home, his begadav will become tamei. If so, why does the Torah even mention eating? I'm going to include everything. Why is the pasuk mention that he's going to eat in that home? Ah, for a shear. Litin shear l'sheichek de'achila. Pasuk is telling you, in order for the begadim to become tummy, he has to remain in that home as long as it takes to have a meal. That's a significant amount of time. He's established himself in that home. And now, not only he is tummy, that already happened when he entered the home, but it's begadim contracted tumah as well. She'ein ton tibas kibas begadim at sheyishe kadei achila. V'gufa tamei biyad. Of course, he himself became tamei right away. D'achiksev abala bayis yitmo. However, v'lo iksev kibas begadim. It doesn't say kibas begadim immediately. Only later, when he stayed there long enough to have a meal. V'oichel b'bayis. D'ahayinu shoyek kadei achila yichavas begadim. So we learned that v'oichel b'bayis means he was there long enough to theoretically have a meal. Then, even his begadim, which he is wearing, become tamei as well. Continues Rashi, achilas pras, chatzi, kikar, half a loaf. Shir chachamim, oisei lemozen shtei sudas. That's the loaf of bread discussed in Erevin. Contains 2 meals worth. Le'erev, desnam be'erevin, chetzio beis hamenuga. It's a mishnah there. Half of that loaf is a shir for beis hamenuga. Pas chitin. So wheat bread, which is tastier. Shiyasamu etes. It takes less time to have it. Mishal so'erim, rather than barley bread, which takes longer. Meisev, he's leaning, he's lying. This was their manner of eating. Mishu Mesev, says Rashi, one who eats in that manner, who asik b'achila, he's preoccupied with his meal, ve'eino tored v'dvar machirim. He doesn't get easily distracted with other things. So his meal moves right along. 3 chumras, paschitim, focused, and eating it with liftan. So indeed we see that chita, wheat, provides a benchmark for yisuri Torah, for shiuri Torah. Continues the Gemara. What about se'ira? 4 lines from the top. Se'ira. What about barley? What type of shear is measured based on barley? This nan. Etzem kase'ira. A bone chip of a maize. The size of a barley. Metame b'magu b'masa. Is metame through touching and carrying. Ve'ne metame b'oil, but not oil. So we see that barley provides a shear for tumas etzem. Gefen. What's a shear pertaining to vines? Kadesh revius yayin l'nazer. We know that a nazir may not drink a revius of wine, and likewise, he cannot even have any vine-related substance like leaves of the vine, the fresh shoots. How do we measure those? It's Revius based as well. But Revius is a liquid quantity. How one to measure solid substances using a Revius? So let's go over to Rashi. Just about halfway down the Amud in Rashi. Geffen. Mashi Arabi. What was used? What was measured using the Geffen? Answers the Gemara, the Revius Yain. Explains Rashi, Bishar Isurin Nazar, regarding the other Isurin, not really strictly wine, vine shoots or vine leaves, Dikilman, the Omer, Besechas Nazar, the Chartzanim, pits, Lulavin, these fresh branches of the vine, which are edible, the Olin leaves, Mitzdar from the Shir Revius Yain. So he has some of these substances that equal a measure of Revius Yain, he is over. How are we going to get to Revius when we speak about solid material? Explains Rashi, you do the following experiment. You fill a kois with wine. And you insert these leaves, etc. And you fill and you fill. Until you have wine spill out. How much wine? A Revius of wine. Now you know that that amount of leaves equal a Revius. Now, why are we measuring specifically with wine? We're using Geffen, Revius Yain, as the benchmark for Revius of leaves. The same thing could have been done with water. Says Rashi, no, there's a difference, because wine is a thicker substance and resists as a more resistant surface pressure. So it takes more to push them out of the cup. You can't compare. Doing this experiment, just shear with a cup filled with water, the meshar b'yayin, as opposed to measuring with wine. Why? Mishum de yayin afu. Yayin is relatively thicker. Veinim emayr lotzis. And isn't easily pushed out of that kois. Ela nivratz v'nigdesh ala kois, atzvas ha kois, yoysim ramayim. It heaps, it rises above the kois until it finally gets pushed over the side. So it takes more leaves to push out a Revius of Yain, and indeed, this Revius of Yain is going to provide the measurement, the shear of how much olin, lulavin, chartzanim of a vine are usher for the nazar. Continues the Gemara. What about te'ena? What shear is te'ena based? Kegroigris leitzolos Shabbos. The minimum amount of edible food, which constitutes a malacha of leitzol on Shabbos, is a shear of food equal to a dried fig. Although, typically, a shear achila is kazayis, but the Mefarshim explained the Rishonim and Shabbos that for chiv hoitza, you need something choshev, melechas machsheves, asra Torah, and the shear was placed at a kugeris, a dried fig, which is greater than a kazayis. Remind, what do we measure based on a pomegranate? This is not, this is pertaining to tum. A kli that has a hole and is no longer suitable for use, is no longer metami. And that's a rimoin-based hole, a rimoin-based shear, called clay bali batam. Only homeowners kalim, as opposed to a merchant's clay, as soon as it gets even a small hole, it's no longer fit for use, you can't sell it. So certainly it's not makabel tumah, but a homeowner's clay, intended for domestic use. He's not going to discard of his clay as soon as it gets a small hole. If it gets a small hole the size of a zayis, he'll use it for pomegranates. But once that kli, as Tosis points out, we're speaking about a kli eitz, which has value more than a kli cheres. So this kli is going to hold on to as long as he could, and until it gets a hole the size of a pomegranate, it's still roi for use and still mertamatum. Kol klei balabatim, shiurin can remind him. So if it gets a hole large enough to allow a pomegranate to slip through, it's no longer fit for use, no longer mekabel tum. And the pasuk concludes, Eretz zeis shemen odvash. What does this mean? Eretz, Eretz Yisrael, is a land, shekol shiureo kezeisim, where olives grow, which are used for all measurements of Torah. It says, well, what do you mean? Kol shiureo sakadaitach, all shiurim? Ha'ika hani damrin. We just provide a long list of other shiurim, which aren't necessarily olive related. Ella Ema rather say Shiroiv, Shir Kazesim, most Shiurim of Torah, Azayis based. Rashi provides a long list, Kazayis of Maize, Nevela, Isr Chelev, Dam, Pigal, Nice, many, many shiurim of Torah akazayis based. And finally, we have dvash, something sweet, honey, which is referring to honey produced from dates. So it's referring to the date that grows in Eretz Yisrael, which shear is date based. We know that on Yom Kippur, one is meant to refrain from achila, but in contrast to Kol HaTorah Kula, where achila is considered a kezayis, on Yom Kippur it says, you're not meant to negate inui. Chachamim established that the negation of inui only takes place if one eats food equivalent to a plump date. So it's based on this pasuk. We see that a kiseves provides a shear. Chacham added the gasa element, that has to be a plump date. So that's considered a shear for achila Yom Kippur. In any case, we see that all the shiurim are contained in a pasuk. Al Madei Raisa Ninu, in Torah Shebachsav. Why do we need Halacha Mishmei Sinai for shiuri Torah? Says in 1 second. V'tispra. Do you really think shiurim miksivi? We have the shiurim in the pasuk. We have lots of fruits, chita, soira, gef. We don't have any description of details of shiurim. What do you mean the shiurim are in the Torah? Ela hilchas hanenu. In fact, they were presented through the halacha l'mashmi Sinai, across machta ba'amu. This pasuk was merely used by the chachamim as a smachta, as a support, as a remes. We always seek to find halachos of Torah shebal peh within the Torah itself, because everything was mentioned and hinted in the Torah in advance. So certainly, it's hinted in this pasuk. The fact is, all these shiva saminim are going to be used for various halachos, various shiurim. But that's only once you know the halachos, once you know the shiurim, which were conveyed by the halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. Continues the Gemara. What was the second thing on the list? Shiurim, and then we had chatzitzin. Chatzitzin? Halachos of chatzitza d'oraisa, you know. Once again, we have a pasuk for that. Why do we need halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, which is Torah Shebaal Peh? Dichsev. V'roach chatzitz b'sori b'mayim. We learn from here. B'sori b'mayim. Needs to be direct contact between one's flesh and the water when he is toivel. Shelo yehi davar choytitz b'nei lebin amayim. There can't be any barrier between himself and the water. It's a pasuk. The chatzitza disqualifies the tefillah. So it's like Marki asoy hilchas. You know what the halacha is coming for? The sa'aray. That even a chatzitza present in one's hair disqualifies. Could the rabba barbachana, the omer rabba barbachana. At times, even a small chatzitz in one's hair can get in the way. Nima achas kshura. If he has one hair tied up within itself, chitzetzes doesn't allow water in, and it's chitzitz. Sholish. If you have three hair tied together, in chitzitzes, why? Because hair is tough, and when you have three hairs tied together, the water will get through. However, shtaim, two tied together, that's a toss-up. Any day, I'm not sure whether or not it's considered a chatzitza. In any case, we see pretty clearly that chatzitza is a concern even when it's present in one's hair. And that's what the halacha was coming to tell us. Asks the Gemara, Sorei nami doirai seninu. Well, that's also learned from a pasuk. We learn from a pasuk that one's hair is part of the tefillah process. The chsiv rachas es besorei b'mayim. We learn from here, what is es coming for? Es hatofel besorei. The thing which is attached to one's flesh, umayniu, what is that? Sa'aray. So here as well, it's part of the tefillah process, and we assume just as chatzitza disqualifies the basar, it disqualifies the hair as well. So why do we need halacha l'Moshe Sinai? Okay, so hilchasa, you know what halacha is coming for? To provide details, to give us the guidelines of chatzitza, which we can't really see from the psukim. Look at the Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rabbi Yitzchak. Dvar Torah, says Rashi on top, Dvar Torah halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. So through the halacha we learn the guidelines. Dvar Torah says the Gemara, Ruba Yamak B'dalav Chaitz. A chatzitz is only considered such when two conditions are present. One, on account of its size, it overtook the person, it covers most of a person's body. And number two, he's Mak B'dalav. He's particular. He doesn't want this chatzitza. So on account of its size, on account of its quality of the person's attitude. So when both of those conditions are present, that is considered a chatzitza, which is considered a barrier between oneself and the water. So that's minatur. Dvar Torah, only when two conditions are there is there a concern. Ruboy, large size chatzitza, umak v'delov. And this fellow doesn't want it. He wants it removed. Then we say it's chatzitz. But if only one of these conditions are met, for instance, it's large in size, but he's indifferent to it. V'she'eni mak v'delov, eni chatzitz. Why? Let's see Rashi on the top line. Ruboy roiv sa'ari metunav petit. Suppose most of his hair is filled with tit, with dirt, a kosher achas achas, or tied one at a time, in which case it's a proper chatzitza. It poses a barrier. Umak bedelov, and this fellow is particular about it. Chaitzitz. So when both conditions are met, it's roiv and he's mak, but that's a concern. Someone medayik, that it would seem from Rashi, at this halacha, that both conditions, roiv and miut, are preconditions for chatzitza. It only applies to hair. But suppose the chatzitza is on one's body, even a small chatzitza is a concern. That's how Tosis is medayik. The Tfar says, no, Rashi didn't mean that. Rashi was just trying to highlight something. He was trying to highlight that even if the roiv is only in the hair, meaning suppose the body is free of chatzitzes, but the hair is rubi chatzitzes, it's also a concern. See, as the shitas of a ga'inim, machlik is ramam ga'inim, whether we view the body and the hair as one, so rubi means the chatzitza covers the head and the hair, or according to the ga'inim, we split the two. Hair is one entity, and rubi of hair is a chatzitz, and body is another entity. Rubi's body itself is also chaitz. So it would appear that Rashi is following the shita zagoinim. Even if the body is free of chatzitz, but the hair part of the person is filled with chatzitz, that's a problem. Okay. In any case, when both tenoim are there, it's significant on account of its large size and attitude is there as well. He rejects the chatzitz, then it's a true chatzitz. But if he's really indifferent, he's not particular about it, a makvidalov. No chatzitza. Why? Says Rashi. Because then we regard the substance as part of his body. It's bottled him. He doesn't intend on removing it. He's indifferent to its presence. So it's bottled to the person, in which case it doesn't pose a chatzitza concern. So this we learn from Halacha Moshe Sinai. Sure, the Pasuk tells us chatzitza is a concern, whether it's in the basar or the seir, but how much? In what manner? Says Rabbi Yitzchak. That's why we need Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. When both conditions are there, Roiv and Makbid, it's a Chatzitza. Continues the Gemara in the second line. That's Menat Torah. You need two conditions. But Midrabanan, even when there's only one condition, on account of its size, or on account of his personal attitude, it's also Asr. The Gazru, Chacham applied Gzer, Al Rubai. So if it's big, She'en Makbid, even if he's not particular about it. Because one condition is there. It's large. That's also a chatzitza, mishum rubi ha-makbid, because it might lead to the next phase. It might even lead him to allow a large size chatzitza, rubai, which he is makbid about. Now, there you'll have two conditions, chatzitza v'natur. So they said, even if it's just one condition, rubai, even without makbid, that's also a chatzitza. And likewise, mal mi'uti ha-makbid. Suppose he's makbid, so you have the personal element, despite the fact that it's just small in size, since one condition is met, that's also a concern, mishum rubi ha-makbid, because it might lead to a case of rubi ha-makbid, in which case we have both elements, large and makbid, and over there it's a chatzitza min ha-Torah. So min ha-Torah, you need large and attitude. Min ha-Rabbanan, even one or the other is enough. Says the Gemara, v'ligzer nami. Why wouldn't they disallow, even in a case where none are there, when no conditions are met? Al mi'utai, if it's small in size, she'ele makbid, for which he doesn't care. Why? Because it might lead to a case where there's one condition present, which is a concern. Mishum mi'utai ha-makbid. This might lead to a case where he will allow himself to have a chatzitza, small in size, which he is particular about. In which case, there'll be one condition met, which is a concern. Inami, alternatively, let's disallow a case where there are no conditions met, because it might lead to a case where Mishum Rubei Sheinei Makpid might end up being large in size next time, where he won't be particular about it, but since one element is there, large in size, it's a concern. So why only when there's one condition do you consider it a chatzitza midrabanan and not when there is no conditions met? Says the Gemara very pashut. He goof a gzera. Even when one aspect is there, is it not Torah? No, it's only the gzera midrabanan because I might lead to a case we have both aspects. So since only one condition, even one case when you really have one condition, it's only midrabanan, v'ana neku v'nigza gzera gzera, we're going to go apply a double gzera. Consider the chatzitza when no conditions are met, because it might lead to a case where one condition is met, which is only the rabbanon, because it might lead to a case where both conditions are met. Don't do that. Rashi and Beitza says, Pasuk says, he meant to make a mishmeres for Torah. Asu mishmeres. V'lo mishmeres l'mishmeres. You don't make a double fence around the Torah. So, in a Torah, only two conditions are concerned. With the rabbanon, even one, that's a fence around the Torah. We don't take it a step further. To consider chatzitza, even when there are no conditions met, that's a step too far, which doesn't justify gzera. Now, interesting machlokes between the Rashba and other Rishonim regarding the definition of makpid. He's particular. Is it based on his attitude? Or is it based on what's commonly accepted among society? Interesting shaila. Meaning, suppose you have something which nobody cares about, but he cares about. Or conversely, he doesn't care, but everybody does. Is that a chatzitza or not? Machlokes Rishonim. And there's another point, as I mentioned earlier, regarding how to mention roiv, how to calculate roiv. Do we look at the person as one big entity? Or do we separate between the makim haguf and the makim sa'aris, so each one perhaps is calculated separately? That's another machlokes Rishonim. Let's just summarize the halacha of chatzitza, which pertains to something found on the basar or the sa'aris. Min ha-Torah, only when it's rubei and makbid, is it a concern. Midrabanan, one or the other. However, if none are present, it's small in size, and he's really indifferent about it, I'll agree, that's not a concern. Continues the Gemara. The third item on that list of halacha Moshe Sinai was mechitzen, hechas mechitzen. Says the Gemara Mechitzen Hadamar. It's referring to the halacha that we mentioned yesterday. How do we know that Mechitzen is meant to rise 10 tefachim? We learn this from halacha Moshe Mesinai. Ha nichel Rabbi Yehuda. Well, that works according to Rabbi Yehuda, who had no other source. Ela the Rabbi Meir Meikel Meima. But according to Rabbi Meir, who sourced that halacha from the Mishka, from the fact that the Shechina rested on top of the Aron, which was 10 tefachim. And we know the Shechina never descended to the Eretz. Apparently the Eretz rises up until that point. And a machitza has to separate the entire Rishus Eretz. It has to rise 10 tefachim. According to him, why do we need halacha? L'meshim esina for machitza. Says the Gemara, is that the only halacha pertaining to machitza? Many others, which I learned through the halacha l'meshim esina. Ki asoy ilchas. You know what halacha is coming for? Look good. To tell you how to stretch things. So we had this halacha the other day about amud, a post 10 tefachim high. The surface on top is considered Rishus HaYachid. You know why? Because we stretch the sides up. We view as though the top surface is surrounded by mechitzes. Rashi brings another example of good. You have a doorway, a pesach, or a ceiling, a tikra, we say. Pi tikra yod v'seisim. We sort of bring down the edge of the ceiling, consider it as a pesach, and we view the home as a separate entity. We're going to learn this later on by Zeshem the Masechta. So the concept of good, this virtual mechitza, is halacha Moshe Sinai. That's number one. Beloved. Halacha that we cancel out a gap which is less than three. V'defin akuma. And likewise, the halacha of bending that wall to bring it closer to the sukkah. So even according to Rav Meir, there are plenty of halachas pertaining to mechitza which are derived through halacha Moshe Sinai. Continues the Gemara. V'she'en lo shalosh defanis. So Mishnah tells us that the sukkah needs to have at least three walls. Toner Rabbanon, do they need to be full walls? No. Shtayim Kilchasim, two of them need to be full-sized walls. So you have one wall, seven tefachim long, another one, seven tefachim long. Ushlishi, safilu tefach. But the third, we learn this from Malchum Eshem Sinai, that was included in the previous halacha mechitzin, that the third wall of the sukkah need not be 7 tefachim in size. Even a 1 tefach wall, which provides that doorpost, so to speak, that side post, that pesach into the rest, into the area which is enclosed by those two full walls, a tefach is enough to provide that. Now we have a three-walled sukkah. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Omer need more than that. Shalosh kilchasa, need three proper walls. Urevias afilu tefach. The fourth one could be even a tefach. The more later says that according to Rabbi Shimon, a sukkah needs to be dear as kva, needs to be properly enclosed. Therefore, he says, unless you have it this way, three good walls, and the fourth one, a tefach, which is like a pesach to the rest, the sukkah is not kosher. Now, we're going to try to find a mocker within the psukim for both shittas. Mike and Miflagi, what's the basis of their machlekes? Rabbanon hold 2 and a bit. Rabbi Shimon says 3 and a bit. They want to provide no less than 5 approaches. Rabbanon savar yesh em lemaseris. Rabbanon maintained that the primary focus when it comes to drashes is the maseris, the spelling, the way Moshe Rabbeinu spelled the Torah. The Torah that he handed over, that he was Moshe to Klal Yisrael. So we have a discrepancy between spelling and reading. We have a steer between the two. Which one are we Dorish? We focus on the spelling. Rav Shimon Savar Yishem LeMikra. We focus on the way it's read. Explains Rashi right off to the side. Yishem LeMaseris, which is the spelling. K'mosha Kosa Moshe Mosa B'Sei B'Torah Klal Yisrael. Hi Ha'em. That's the aim. That's the mother. That's the source. V'Ha Ikar. Like Moshe Hunikra, rather than the way it's read. Says Rashi, Basukas Teishu Shivas Yamim. Yeshu Basukas, Hi Basukas Heshafti. We find the word Basukas mentioned 3 times. You'll see a difference between the three. Because Chad is Mali, one has a Vav, Basukas, it's even spelled Basukas. Utrain Chaser and the other ones, although they're read Basukas, but they're not spelled Basukas. So we find a discrepancy between the spelling. It's spelled like a singular, basukas, but it's read plural, basukas. Continues the Gemara. So Rabbanon focuses on the maseres, on the spelling. Rabbi Shimon focuses on the way it's read, on the way it sounds. Rabbanon savra yesh emel maseres. We focus on the maseres, the way it's spelled in the Torah. Basukas, basukas. So it's 1 plus 1. And we have basukas. There's another 2, Harikan Arba, for a total of 4 mentionings of a sukkah. It's going to be used for a drush, to tell you how many walls a sukkah has to have. Now, you can't have 4. Why? Dal chad lugufei. You have to deduct at least 1 for its own sake. Torah is telling you, sit in a sukkah. That's off the list. Pashul klasi, left with 3. We learn from here. Shtaim kilchasen, 2 proper walls. Basoy hilchasen. Now, comes along the halacha Moshe Mesina and tells you, reduce that third wall. The garasa lishlishes, it reduced that third wall from a full-sized wall, b'ukma tefach, and turned it into a tefach. That's how you get 2 and a bit. Reb Shimon Savar yod yeshem lemikro. Let's focus on the way it's read. Although it's spelled singular, lashon yachid basukas, but how's it read? Basukois, basukois, basukois. 3 times 2, arikan shesh, it gives you 6. Once again, you have to deduct 1 for its own sake. Chdal chad kralu gufei. 1 pasuk gets off the list. Because that's needed to tell you. Sit in a sukkah. You left with how much? Pashulu arba. Left with 4. That's how I get to 3 and a bit. Shalosh kilchasen. 3 full walls. Asoy hilchasa. And I also agree that there's halacha mishnah Sinai, which is going to come reduce that fourth wall. Vegar asalar v'is. V'ukmasa tefach. And deducted that fourth, reduced it down to a tefach. So according to the Rabbanan, it's 2 and a bit. According to Rabbi Shimon, 3 and a bit. Another approach would be as follows. The kuli amal yesh emel mikra. All agree. The focus is on the way it's read. So it's basukais, which is 2, basukais, another 2, basukais, another 2, for a total of 6. So you're starting with 6. Now, of course, 1 pasuk is deducted. Lugufei, to teach you, to sit in a sukkah. She left with 4. V'achabokah miflugi in the machlokes is as follows. Mar sava, Rabbanon hold, sechacha bayikra. One of those 4 mentionings need to be deducted to be applied for schach. To teach you, they need halachically approved schach on your sukkah. So you're left merely with 3, And the halacha of Moshe Sinai reduces one to a tefach, so it's two and a bit. That's the Rabbanon. Umar Savar, whereas Reb Shimon holds, schach lo vayikra, you don't need a pasuk for schach, as Rashi says, because it's called a sukkah. Without schach, it's not a sukkah. So he holds, you still have four remaining. The halacha of Moshe Sinai reduces the fourth one to a tefach. That's why he gets two, three and a bit. Another pshat can be the kuli alma yeshem l'maseres. All agree you want to follow the maseres, the spelling. So you have four to start with, and one of course is deducted lugufe for its own sake to teach you to sit in a sukkah. V'acha b'kamifliki, and the machloekis is as follows: Mar savar rabbanon hold ki asoy hilchas alagareya. The halacha came to reduce, so he started with the three. The halacha reduced the third one down to a tefach. He left with two and a tefach. Umar Sava, whereas Reb Shimon holds, ki asoy hilchas alahaisa. Actually, the halacha came to add. So he started with three. The halacha comes to add another tefach, three and a bit. Liboy yisema. Another pshat can be the kuli amo ki asoy hilchas algareya. All agree that the halacha comes to deduct. V'yesh em l'maseres. All agree you follow the spelling. So you started with four, and the halacha comes to be begareya. So what's the machlokes? V'acha b'dorshin tchilas kamiflugi. The question is whether you need to deduct one for its own sake. Are you dorsh the first time the Torah mentions it, or do you say no? You need it l'gufei. They tell you that you meant to sit in a sukkah. Ma'asav adorshin tchilas. Reb Shimon holds you can b'dorsh even the first one. Explains the run. Although typically we don't do that, but here. We have a long list of basukas. We have many other mentionings of basukas for a drasha. So once they're used for a drasha, we put the first one into the list as well. And we apply it to a drasha. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, you started with four. Halacha deducted one, brought it down to a tefach, leaves you with three and a bit. Omar Savar, and Darshin Tchiles, whereas Rabbanon hold, even in this case, you can't use the first for a drasha, it's needed for its own sake. So you started with four. One cannot be used for a drasha. You're down to three. The halacha reduced the third one to a tefach, which leaves you with two and a bit. Rav Masna Amar, Taimei de Rav Shimon Mahacha. Rav Shimon is coming from a pasuk, which indicates they need a properly enclosed area, a proper place of shelter, which can only happen if you're fully enclosed with three walls and a bit on the other side. Pasuk in Yeshaya says, V'sukkah. What is a sukkah? Tia letzel yom yom achar, provide shade and protection from heat. Ula machse, ula mistar, mizerem amatar. Be a protector, provide shelter from rain, mizerem amatar. Explains Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom. Ula machse, ula mistar, below your arba machitzes. Love machse, mizerem. Without four machitzes, you're not really protecting much. Shalruch meshe v'sazerem, the wind will just blow the rain in. Derech defen aparis, through that open door. Through an open wall. Therefore, Reb Shimon says, you need more than just two and a bit. You need three and a bit. And that fourth wall, of course, is a Pesach. I have to get in and out. Tosis brings a Yerushalmi, which elaborates further. You might want to see the Tosis inside. So it's two lines from the bottom. V'sukkah tia letzel. Says Tosis be Yerushalmi amrina tamid Reb Shimon min hadok kroya. He sources it in this Pasuk. V'sukkah tia letzel yoyma mechoyrev. Hare achas, and there's a girsa achas lamala. So the first part of the pasuk, it's going to create a sail. It's referring to the schach on top. The pasuk continues, lamachse ulemister hare shnaim, referring to two walls. Furthermore, mizerem umimater, it's another shnaim, for a total of four walls, three and a bit. So that's his shita, v'rabban amri, mizerem umimater achas. Zerem, mater, it's all about rain and drizzling, so it's all one thing. So instead of getting four walls, they only get two, three. So this is the marker for Reb Shimon's four and Rabbanon's three. So in conclusion, how many tefanos does the sukkah need to have? According to Reb Shimon, three and a tefach. According to Rabbanon, two and a tefach. We have five ways of explaining the machlokes. Let's just go quickly. According to the first pshat, it's a question of how to focus. We have a conflict between mikra, between how you read the psukim, and the maseris, and the way it's spelled. So we have three mentionings of basukis, In its spelling, we have basukas, so it's 1 plus 1, and basukois, another 2, which is 4. In its reading, it's basukois, 3 times 2 for 6. Rabbi Shimon says, you follow the mikra, you start with 6. You deduct 1 pasuk lugufei, that gives you 4. Halacha reduces it to 3 and a bit. But the Rabban, we follow the Maseiros, the spelling. You started with 4. You reduced 1 ligufei, and then the Halacha Mishim Sinai was megareya, that third one to a tefach, which leaves you with 2 and a bit. Second approach was, all agree, you follow the mikra. You start with 6. Rav Shimon says, deduct 1 pasuk ligufei, leaves you with 4. Halacha reduces it to 3 and a bit. Rabbanu maintain, 1 pasuk goes down ligufei, so deduct 2 of the 6, and deduct 1 more mentioning of asukais to be applied for schach, which leaves you with only 3. Halacha takes it down to 2 and a bit. Third approach was, all agree, Masiris is the way to go. So you start only with 4. 1 goes down to Gufei, and according to Rav Shimon, the halacha is actually Maisiv. It's coming to add, not to deduct. So it started with 3, you ended with 3 and a bit. According to Rabbanan, you start with 4, 1 deduct to Gufei, the halacha takes it down from 3 to 2 and a bit. Halacha is Megareya. Fourth approach was, all agree, Masiris is the way to go, so you start with 4. According to Rav Shimon, halacha took it down from 4 to 3 and a bit. According to Rabbanon, you're not doyish tchilais, so you need to deduct 1 lugufei, which leaves you with 3. Comes halacha and takes it down to 2 and a bit. And the final approach, Rav Shimon was based on a pasuk, took vesukati el tzel, etc., mizerim mater. And the Gemara later in the Zion tells us, he holds that his sukkah zediris kva has to afford proper protection. It needs to be fully surrounded. According to Rabbanon, sukkah is merely diris harai. Therefore, according to them, you don't need that much. 2 and a bit is sufficient. And actually, Taz brings in Yerushalmi that the machlokes is based on how to darshan the pasuk, but it would seem from the Gemara of Zion, it's actually svara based. The svara of whether it's diris arai, diris kva propels the drasha and the approach to this pasuk. Okay, time for a brief chazara. We learned that shiurin chatzitin and machitzin are learned by way of halacha meshem esinah, and although we have a pasuk describing the yeshivas aminim, which were all applied to various shiurim shel Torah, but the details were of course handed down through halacha meshem esinah and supported as an asmachta in this pasuk. Likewise, the details and guidelines of chatzitza were handed down to meshem esinah. And of course, the concept was learned in the Psukim, but the details and guidelines were conveyed by Lachem Meshem Sinai. What are the guidelines of Chatzitza? So is a significantly sized Chatzitza in the Basar or the Seir, and he is Makbin on it. So you have both elements. It's significant on account of its size, and on account of the fact that it disturbs the person, and cannot be considered part of him. He rejects the Chatzitza. So both those elements combine to create a Chatzitza Min HaTorah. It poses a barrier between one and the water. If only one of those conditions are present, it's large in size, it's roi, or it's small but he is makbid, then it's a chatzitza mderabbanan. When none are present, it's small in size, it's only miut, and he's really indifferent about the presence of this chatzitza, then it's not considered chatzitza even mderabbanan. Which hilchos machitza were taught halacha meshem esinai? The fact that machitza needs to rise 10 tefachim, according to Yehuda, and gurasik. Love it. Defin, of course, the fact that the last wall of the sukkah need not be a fully sized wall, merely a tefach is sufficient that provides a doorway, a pesach, into the properly enclosed area. Now, what is considered a properly enclosed sukkah? So, according to Rabbanon, you need merely shtayim kilchasan, with the third one being a tefach. According to Rav Shimon, shalosh kilchasan, a revi is tefach, needs to appear like a proper place of dwelling, a diras kva. The Gemara provided 5 approaches to understand the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rabba.